Hey friends, this is Harold Long. Welcome to the weekly message from Transformation Church. I'm so glad you're carving out time to join us today. I believe this teaching can speak right to your heart and help you take the next steps in your Jesus-centered journey. I share a few thoughts at the end, but for now, let's jump into the message.
Good morning, Transformation Church family. Happy Sunday. Glad to see you all here. Glad I'm not left alone to do this by myself. A few minutes ago, I was Drummer John, and you didn't see me, but I had to spin around like Wonder Woman and transform into Messenger John behind the drum set. So here I am now, playing drums, carrying the message. And if we listen to something Pastor Harold likes to say all the time, if we unpack all that, it just means I'm having more fun than you today. So I'll take it. That scripture that... first of all, actually, glad I brought my friend Daniel here today, first time with her family, and he was anxious to come. We were talking earlier in the week, and we're on the same road, trudging the same road, trying to live a God-centered life, and, he's like, I don't really know where my relationship with God is, right now, and I said, well, I know one thing we better do. Let's come into fellowship and let's listen and hear what the message is all about. So he's like, let's do it. And those of us that have gotten to have a taste, however we got here, we want more. I want to know more, for whatever he's done for me. Now I want to know what the word really means and how am I supposed to use that word in my life, And when you don't know, when you're in the dark, one of the things we're going to talk about as we get into this part of our whole year on soul restoration, renewing the mind, is where our thoughts can go, and where they go, even in a hard Christ-centered life, what happens when, especially out there, It's great and it's easy when I wake up alone by myself in the dark and I hit my knees and I pause and I stay silent and all that. I'm not being bombarded with anything. I'm just feeling at peace. Then we go outside, and then we pick up our phone and then we do, what we do and we're in the battle, as far as I'm concerned, trying to live a Christ-centered life and having... the world as it is, we see it, we reflect it. Sometimes I absorb it. What am I going to do with those thoughts that, did I create them? Are they automatic? Are they every day? And that's what Pastor Harold has set aside as a message for today. And our first message in this part of the journey is called Renewing the Mind and is grounded in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, which I'll read again, that Jane read. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. This verse is more than inspiration, it's instruction. If we want to experience soul restoration, we must allow God to change our thoughts. And right away, I can tell you, nothing changed by me wanting it to. What's happened, that's a blessing, that's living in God's grace, has happened because He did it for me, because I reached out, because I asked, and sometimes over and over on a daily basis. God, remove this from me, divorce this from me, block this from me, make this objectionable to me. It's a cancer in my life, in my spiritual journey, and I need your help. And doesn't mean it's going away today, as he gets into with his message here, how we tend to that. And the very first point he has is we all have weeds in our mental gardens. The mind is like a garden left unattended. Weeds will take over. And I can go through an entire day with leaving the weeds unattended. I might have tended to them yesterday, but I didn't so much today. And all along, anything that in 25 years of an actual God-centered life, maybe the most important things have changed, but I got a whole list of them, and I'm still working. It's like, Like Pastor Harold says, I'm looking at Mount Wreckage out there. Almost everything touches me, you know, in a way I don't want it to, and in a secular lifestyle. And each one I've had to just address to bring to the light. I mean, sinful thought doesn't necessarily feel like it when it happens, you know. It might feel like a justified thought, a righteous thought, the other person's wrong, this or that, and I can go on and just entertain that. I can feed the weed, you know, and as soon as I keep doing that, it's going to tear down. My wife has us growing some fantastic tomatoes and peppers right now, and she's also out there every day yanking the weeds so that the weeds don't grow and kill off our food, you know. Exactly, I lived a life of all I had was toxic thought and reacting and judging and comparing and everything else that a self-centered person turned from a God-centered life is going to do and just live in. And the next point is worry, fear, shame, anger, resentment, bitterness, comparison. These are the invasive species of the soul. And if I turn on Fox News or CNN, if I go to Twitter or Facebook or where, almost anywhere I go, and can just be in people, I'm going to have something that's going to trigger in me something that's going to easily lead to one of those things. And if I have no defense, if I don't even understand that God can help me with that, that there's literally this and many other scriptures that address that right off the bat, and this whole part of this soul restoration series, then I'm just doing the same thing. I'm leaving that unattended. The weeds grow. And I think it's just part of me, and I think it's okay, and I learn how to wrestle with the weeds rather than tend the garden. And, you know, again, living in myself turned this far or that far or however far I need to be away from God is just like not tending my garden every day. And it's, yeah, we've all lived it. What happens with this, and how big of a sin and a corrosion does it turn into our lives? I lived a life of it. Just like a gardener pulls weeds, we must actively identify and uproot toxic thoughts daily, on a daily basis. Same to me as, you know, going to the gym. What's the first thing I'm going to do? Address that it's even there. So next thing I'm going to do, I'm going to tell somebody about it. I need help out here. It's great that I have a relationship with God. It's greater that I have a relationship with Pastor Harold, who has been my spiritual mentor, who can help me see what I can't see. I'm a self-centered being, and I know through experience how I've overcome many of the things that were just pure dark side in my life is just to get honest about it. And it can start with a thought. I thought this about that person. I thought this about this situation. And here's what happened. You know, I wanted to put my fist through a wall. I wanted to, you know, yell at somebody. I want to do whatever I want to do whatever I want to do based on how I felt about something that in some cases may not even be reality. So daily, a pause and reflect, bringing it to the light is the fact that I'm at least owning the fact that I got weeds in my garden, you know, and I want to do something out of it. He says, imagine planting tomatoes and roses in your backyard, but never pulling a single weed. Eventually, the weeds would choke the life out of your good plants. Your mind is no different. And a battle lost in thinking means I'm headed down a path of destruction. And it's never a trust in God. It's always a belief in thought. You know, and my thoughts, self-made, pretty much always outside of reality, to put it kindly. And that's where a life that's not God-centered and that's not first recognizing how powerful my mind is going to be a problem. And so Start by identifying your weeds. What lies are you believing about yourself or others or God? How often do I worry about my self-image? How often do I worry about what you think of me? How often am I worried about perceived acceptance or failure or what's coming? When those thoughts are just replaying, I'm out of the game, you know, and I'm certainly off the path. You know, I can be inside of a God-centered life and being led astray into the dark at the same time. What negative thought loops play in your head? Judging, finger pointing, again, go right to spend 5 minutes out seeing what the world wants to tell me about today, and I'm lost, and it's a cancer. And it's worse, I think, when you're a Christian. It's tough when you feel like you're on both sides of the battle line, you know? I'm supposed to be over there, but I feel like I'm over here. And that's a sickness that we don't have to have. And how much God wants to reach out and just pull us back and say, listen, you know, relax, surrender, and let's just look at what you're thinking right now. And for those of us in recovery that came here that way, you know, it's very clear early on we need God's help. And that can be a tough one to overcome. And the fantastic part of it is we look at this whole program, we say, man, we got to go through all this just to get the miracle. And we don't realize the miracle's happening the whole time until that one time he just touches us and turns it on, lets us know he's right there. And I look back when that happened to me the first time and go, I didn't do anything. You know, I just said literally okay. You know, I put nothing into it. God revealed and did all this. He did it all to me. Then he revealed it all to me. And then I accepted it and didn't know what to do next except, well, I'll just do what I did yesterday. You know, I'll pray, I'll show up, and all this. And then began seeing all of the things about me, how I entertain all the poison in my mind all the time, have my own fights and discussions and everything else until I come out right, but nobody else is there. And that's a whole life based on what those of us in recovery have been through. You know, we go through it. You don't have to be coming from that, you know, area to know what it's like to just be lost, you know? And all I have to go by is, am I going to win this in here? And, you know, that's jumping in the ring with Mike Tyson one more time saying, this time I know I can do it, and coming out the other end. So, scripture support is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Well, in identifying, in saying, God, I need a little prayer just for this one thing right here that comes up on me every single day. You know, I want you to be part of this. Come on, I don't know what you want to do with it or when you want to do with it, but it's certainly keeping me from you. It's certainly blocking me off from the things. All I want to do is reach out to help another. All I want to do is be part of this thing that you've given me. And this right here, it's a shield against it. I need your help. Do what you got to do. But identify it right now. Make it obedient to Christ. You know, that's almost something that I'll do it. I don't know what I'm doing, but I want you to have it, God. And that's all. I didn't think much about the mind when I came into wanting to walk a spiritual life. I thought it was all in here, and it all just came down, and you know, God's in our soul and everything else. Didn't pay one bit of attention, and then I found out my life's been run on everything I think and everything I feel. And that's exactly what this transformation topic is talking about right there. And wow, my life's been littered with it. And even as a sober Christian man, happens every day, you know. So thank God that I have you, that I have an honest accountability partner who wants to bring, he doesn't want to scold, he wants to bring scripture and the truth to it all, that I'm not going to die and I'm not going to suffer when I don't have to. I'm a Christian and I'm a sober man. We walk tall, we walk happy, and we live with joy in our lives. That's what we do. And I know that I've been walking that life for a long time. So there is an answer for everything that holds me back. Because it does. The dark side, it ain't playing. So, transformation comes through renewal. Romans 12:2 doesn't tell us to work harder or think happy thoughts. It says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewal is not a one-time event, it's ongoing. In our book, In Recovery, we have a little passage that says, what we have is not a cure. What we have instead is a daily reprieve based on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. It's absolutely the truth. I can be stone sober a long time and be that far away from another drink, you know. But the reality is, I have God, I have this daily reprieve, I have everything I need through Him. By doing these, we say practice these principles in all our affairs, and sometimes it takes a beating in sobriety to find out what affairs I even have. I don't even understand that I'm walking through this. You know, and 99% of it comes from right up here, real or imagined. So to be transformed, you know, through a process that we go through, number one, is almost always going to take one of us, because we find out what we've done is actually develop a relationship with God. And like most people, my friends, family, that leads us to, I want to know what the word is. Who is this? You know, I've developed this relationship with something that's helped transform my life, and now I need to know more. And here we are, you know, come where the word is. I thought I knew what the word is and Jesus Christ and everything else because I went to church and I was brought up, you know, as a Catholic, and I knew what the Bible was, and I heard the story and I saw the movie at Easter and whatever else. And I came in and began to develop a relationship with the God that I finally figured out I knew nothing about and had no clue. Couldn't prove to you He was real other than the fact that there's no good excuse why I should be alive. Outside of that, I couldn't tell you anything, you know, but I'm grateful. And that began a journey of literally doing what it is, what we do in church when we're just God-centered people. What we have is a daily reprieve based, I'm going to conquer what I have today, what the world has for me to eat today, by a relationship through God and for asking His help and identifying my thoughts and saying, this is a cancer in my life, and God, I need your help. And that's been done many times in my walk, and there's still plenty to go. Again, there's a lot out there, you know. It all stems from self, but you know, all of the I can spend 5 minutes at the gym. You know, you go to the gym, why? To get healthy. You get on the treadmill, and what do you see? 12 huge monitors with 24-hour news networks. I mean, that's like, why don't we just bring whiskey to the gym? You know, are we getting healthy? Is that the plan here? Is that how you see it? So, yeah, and I can go get a resentment as I'm getting my cardio on because I'm watching TV. So, comes from anywhere, and we need that help. This change is not behavior modification, it's internal transformation. We renew our minds by reading God's word regularly, meditating on truth, not trends, praying honestly about our thought life, replacing lies with scripture. My prayer life is usually it's either the second half is all the people I'm praying for, and the first half is just the things that, you know, God, I'm disgusted by this, I can't have it in my life, you know, please pray help me get honest about it, help me do the next right thing because this is what it's causing in my life. You know, I didn't do this. I slowed down on that. I didn't show up for that. I didn't feel, you know, again, I want the joy part. That's why I'm here. What is God's will for me? My opinion is, everything I see, God's will for me is to be live a life of joy. If I'm living a life of joy, then I'm exactly the person who's going to carry this message and help draw others to Christ by being just an example. This is what you get. This is what I do. Come along with me. And so these things, you know, renewing our minds by training our minds, by working out our minds, reading God's word regularly and reading it with someone else so I understand it. Man, there was a, at the old Hillsboro church, we had a men's group. And we were about 20 guys. And we were, you know, what are we going to study? And we had little just, you know, we didn't just open the Bible every week and read it. We had studies. And somebody said, well, let's study Revelation. And it's like, well, okay, there's a lot of stuff in there. And so we ordered these books, and Revelations is 22 chapters long, and we did a chapter a week, and we probably, you know, took a couple nights off. So basically, it took 6 months for us to get through a study on Revelation. The end of the 6 months, all 20 of those guys were four guys, and I think a lot of them, you know, we really got a lot of truth, and I'm sure you know quite a bit about what Revelation says, but round about the parts that doesn't sound very fun is when we started losing guys. And I thought, you know, there's a good part coming. You know, there is an answer to this. It's kind of the whole story, so don't miss out. But, you know, a lot of guys didn't want to hear it, and a lot of guys had a lot of misinformation, you know, thought things that were in there that weren't in there, you know, scriptures that were just twisted and bent to some secular, you know, meaning and all that. And I'm like, whatever it is, you know, I want to know what this is. I want the right thing. I want the message. And the first thing it did was it brought me closer to knowing what the actual word is, you know, and being like, when I finally heard the truth about what's just in that book, I mean, all of them, but especially in that book, there wasn't fear. There was just a drawing near to Christ. If you want to know the answers, that's kind of why it's in the back of the book. I always got my school textbook, and let's just flip to the back, and I'll just score an A right now, and we'll be done with it. Revelation, kind of that way, but it's heavy, and but it's God's word. I mean, and it was almost more than that. And so that's what I ultimately, other than an understanding, it just draw near. And things were going better spiritually for me when we were immersed in studying the word, not just reading, you know, having somebody there that can illuminate what you don't understand. And there's a lot that's tough to understand in that one. In fact, the scholars, there were two different studies, and they don't agree on everything that's in that book. So anyway, he has a quote here. Your mind's a battlefield, and the war is won by what you constantly feed it. A garden needs daily attention, watering, pruning, and pulling weeds. In the same way, our minds need daily care and truth. Point three, a renewed mind brings peace and clarity. The result of mental renewal is, word of the day, transformation. Not only how we think, but how we live. And the big kind, the small kind, it's amazing where I felt it was up here. Drawing near was a full soul experience. But knowing I don't believe that anymore, or I don't follow that anymore, or I'm not that person anymore, to think that every day on autopilot, I woke up and drank, and then became a person who thought, I don't have that thought, that obsession, that desire, that anything anymore. And it certainly didn't, I could not escape it, period. And now it does. So my very first transformation saved my life, my physical being, from dying. And from then on, well, I'm attracted to that, so I'm going to practice these little things, and the things that hurt me the most, or the things that hurt the church the most, or any of my behaviors that's just going to lead someone to sin, or me just walking off into it, any of that stuff. I need a transfer. I can pray and then get up and go do whatever I want to do, but I know I need more than that. And so how I think and how I live, that's a transformation. With a renewed mind, we can recognize God's will more clearly. And again, a renewed mind is going to bring joy into my life again. And that's why I'm here, you know, and I'm not leaving. And just, we have the same saying that we have in recovery that we have in a Christ-centered life. It just gets better. It keeps getting better, you know. I can say at 20 some years, I don't remember if it's 24 or 20, whatever it is, 24 years of walking this walk, it's better now as a solid, God-centered man than it's ever been. And it's been great. I mean, I have a family that I cannot and will not do without as a result of walking a God-centered life and trying to become a person that could be a part of a good family. This is all with God's help and through transformation. So the great things that have happened to me in my life as a result of this are part of that transformation. But again, 20 some years, you know, people say, well, man, that's been long enough. Can't you have a drink? You know, or, you know, is God really, you know, still there? Didn't you already pass the test? Aren't you going to heaven? All that. It keeps getting better every day. I'm more on fire to share what this is with you than I was 2 weeks ago or 10 years ago. I mean, I'm closer. So that's in all the toxic thoughts that come. I know that is a greater truth than any of it. And that's why, you know, I just want more. And I want to be a part of this family. This is where I belong. So, he has a humor. This is Pastor Harold humor. You wouldn't go a week without showering. Why go a week without renewing your thoughts? Humor. Decide for yourself. I might have chuckled. I didn't fall out of my chair laughing when I read that. But that's true, you know. I've gone a week without renewing my thoughts, and, you know, turns out the same every time. I've probably gone a week without showering, but that was probably before 25 years ago. I may have gone a month without showering. I lived in the jungle, you know, of the Everglades. So, yeah, been there. Sermon summary. You are not at the mercy of your thoughts. You can change the way you think. You can uproot the lies and cultivate the truth. Through God's Word and Spirit, God can and will transform you. So one, pull the weeds. Identify, bring to light, pray to make it objectionable, meditate. Then to plant the Word, to meditate on truth, be enlightened by the true Word, trust the growth, the practice. Everything, the prayer, the joy, everything we have in our life. I mean, none of it's a one and done. You know, back to that, what we have is a daily reprieve based on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. I mean, you know, I got to put it in today. I got to put God first. Pastor Harold, love a guy, and he's earned the title pastor, but he's been Harold for me, so you're probably going to hear me call him that without the pastor, and that's just, we've been buddies a long time. Since day one, everything that I've had, the practice, the daily, every day, wake up and do it, the prayer, you know, my spiritual growth, my mental growth, my physical growth, you know, when I was in sobriety, and got into a full-on egoed state. I was more than willing to go to the gym every day so I could look great and whatever else, which was helped me in no way, shape, or form in my spiritual walk. But I was healthy. I was just focused on self and everything else. But it worked. I went every day, and I got more and more results. And as I got more, I did more. I didn't go there and pick up this dumbbell and figure out I can pick it up 10 times and then put it down and then just come there for 6 months and just pick up the same dumbbell over and over and then put it down and say I'm good. I mean, physically, it's not going to do much for me. And sitting, hitting my knee, saying the same old prayer, you know, asking for the same old thing because I'm doing the same old thing. You know, that's not going to get me anywhere either. And I have to identify the fact that my thoughts are still in the same place. And God, I really need your help. And I need to bring this out. And I need to tell somebody. I need to get honest about what I'm doing. And that's the practice of my mental fit condition in a God-centered life. You know, I don't want the noise. I want the joy. And so he says, for a call to action, this week, take one intentional step to renew your mind. Maybe it's committing to 10 minutes of scripture reading each day. Perhaps it's replacing negative self-talk with God's truth. Maybe it's memorizing Romans 12:2. Invite God into your mental garden. Let him do the transforming work. The fruit will be peace, clarity, and purpose. That's the end of his written thing. We have a closing prayer. But I want to say to the church, I'm grateful for these opportunities. I don't pretend to be, you know, anything. I just want to be a guy stripped down who loves God and is willing to. I mean, he knows in the recovery world, we do this stuff all the time, you know. But you take any one of us, the people that are just like, oh yeah, it's old hat and everything. Oh, well, now I'm going to put you in this world. And we get all, well, you know, do I got to go to Bible school? You know, do I got to go to university? I'm not a pastor, man. How am I going to do this? And we remember just, man, whatever it takes to help carry the message, you know, speak truth, live truth, share truth, good, bad, and the ugly, you know. I know when Christ smiles on what I do, you know, and to just be a part of your thing, be a part of this church, everything we've got coming that we're going through, we're going to be changing, growing big, and carrying this message out. Much a lot better than that than I am at this. I've been everywhere, prisons, the treatment centers, a million times, and I love it, you know. But all comes back to the same thing. This is what, can't even describe what God's going to do for you because it keeps getting better every day. And that's the end of all that. And this is our closing prayer. So I assume we're going to rock out. And Chrissy said we're just going to blow the roof off for Jesus today. And we got one more song. So this is our closing prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for creating our minds with purpose and power. Forgive us for letting weeds take root. Today we surrender our thoughts to you. Transform us by the renewing of our minds. Plant your word deep within us. Let truth grow where lies once lived. Give us strength to fight negativity, to resist conformity, and to live in the freedom of your perfect will. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Hi again, this is Harold. Thanks so much for tuning in to this week's message from Transformation Church. I hope today's teachings encouraged you wherever you are on your spiritual journey. At Transformation Church, we're a Jesus-centered community for people who aren't in the church. Whoever you are, whatever your past, you are truly welcome here. We're not concerned with your politics, your pronouns, or if you're in recovery. We want you to come as you are with all your hurts, habits, hang-ups, doubts, questions, and reservations. Our focus is simple: to become the one thing Jesus prayed we would become, one. We follow a Jesus-looking God and live Jesus-centered lives, seeking unity through love and grace. We gather every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. in House Springs, Missouri, right at the northeastern tip of the beautiful Ozark Mountains. But church isn't just on Sundays. We meet throughout the week in house churches where genuine relationships form and transformation happens in community. We're also hearing from people all over the country who are engaging in personal and group studies based on our teaching. If that's happening in your corner of the world, we'd love to know. To stay connected, find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube, or download our app. Just search for the Church app in your app store. Download it. It's churchapp-tithely, T-I-T-H-E.ly. And then enter Transformation Church. The app will pre-fill. Inside that app, you'll find our messages, devotions, announcements, sermon notes, discussion questions, the Bible itself, prayer requests, everything you need to grow and stay connected. If you'd like to support the ministry financially, visit us on the web at www.transformer4life.org. So transformer4life.org, or you can click the Give tab in our app. Every gift, no matter the size, helps us keep sharing the best news ever and helps us grow the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Thanks again for being a part of this extended church family. I'm so glad we're in this together, shoulder to shoulder, as a Jesus-centered community, helping people rediscover life and experience true transformation.